Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Wanting to say to those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and as we get rolling out here, Sister Ruth, who do we have with us tonight?
At present, we have the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, band of angels, which is quite a crowd, because I first think I've heard there's 10,000 angels or more up there, and they're hanging out here, too. We have you and Brother Jim and little old me.
All right, as we wait for others, I told Jim earlier tonight, it would be nice if he would press the number one, give us his own prayer request personally. That would be really nice. But we'll see if he does press the number one here as you're giving your prayer request. Go ahead, Ruth.
Continue prayer for Emily. She's doing well from what I've heard, but she has been having some physical issues. I have some physical issues, but God's still on his throne. I'm just going to go up in the rapture when he comes, and I just know he's going to take us up. There's no doubt. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18, for the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I just want to praise his name for that.
Amen. And then, of course, the prayer requests I've had upcoming real soon here, I'll have my stress test, so we'll be able to see what's going on with my heart condition. We'll be able to find out what's really going on, and maybe they could correct that situation, so we want to pray for that. And then, of course, have a couple unspoken, So we'll definitely do that. Okay. And Ruth, did Brother Jim press the number one for us?
No, he's just a good listener. And I tell you, he's so faithful, I think we ought to send him a present.
Well, we know that he wants prayer for himself, a couple unspoken there. And so it would be nice one of these nights that he would press the number one and let us hear directly from him, and it, as I say, hear it from the horse's mouth. You know, really nice to hear from him on occasions. So when he gets his courage up, he could press the number one. We'll be glad to hear from him. But we do thank him for being a good listener and a faithful listener. But as we get ready to roll here, we're going to get into our music tonight, and everybody could just remember the request tonight. And of course, we'll have open mic at the end of the show. If he gets his courage then he could press the number one then. But right now, let's get right into the show. Amen.
In the midnight hour, when all seems so wrong, the King of all glory is ever so strong. He comes to our rescue with power to stay. Joy comes in the morning. Oh, what a glad day. Joy comes in the morning to the saints of God. He gives us sweet victory in the path that we trod. The captain is Jesus. He brings skies of blue. Joy comes in the morning when God brings us I feel like God wants me to be all that He wants me to be. But others don't see that the Lord, He lives in me. Just because I don't see doesn't mean God can see me. All I want is to lend a helping hand, but I just cannot understand the cruel things people say as they laugh and walk away. Just because I don't feel doesn't mean God can see me. If God took away
in the water, in the water.
Kenny. We got six on the line.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Safe and secure from all alarms, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, safe and secure from all of the arms, leaning on the everlasting arms.
I'm going to wait to the end of this song.
Victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord.
right. And, Ruth, you said we have Brother Six with us, right?
Yeah, our good brother that started the whole thing. And Six Eyes Radio Network is really out there now. I don't know how many countries we got. He'll know.
All right, Brother Six, how you doing tonight? You got his mic open, right, Ruth?
Yeah, he probably had to get his coffee because you know how we all love coffee here.
All right, Six, all you got to do is unmute yourself. We got you ready. I want to hear your prayer requests, what have you, if you're ready for us. Get your coffee, buddy.
I mean, he might be just listening in because the little hand's not up. So he's listening in. I just decided to open his mic because, you know, he's got a right to talk anytime. He's a big guy.
Right.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, good evening, good evening. No, I got to check my people out. How y'all doing?
Doing all right. Six, you got any prayer requests or prayer praises for us tonight?
Well, as always, I want you to pray for myself, my family, my friends. Praying for our future endeavors, keeping us healthy, keeping us strong, keeping us focused, and just praying for mankind as a whole. So that's everybody, my family, your family, my friends, your friends, the world, praying for peace, praying for calm, and praying for this one individual, praying that she pulls through. And anybody that's on the Sick and Shut-In list, praying for them. But this one particular person is 17 years old, and just praying for a speedy recovery for her, because God is a healer, and he can turn everything around. Also praying for Badia Tyler, that's Princess Mikhail's mom, praying for her. And like I said, my family, your family, my friends, your friends. So that's it, man.
All right. And also just want to say welcome to you joining us on the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study. Want to say welcome, Brother Six. Glad to have you.
Amen, buddy. Honey,
thank
I also
you.
Got a call from Tim. Tim Groover's still in Israel, so pray that he has more witnessing opportunities. And maybe if God wants him or Lee together, that's up to the Lord. So.
All right. So, yep, like I said, we definitely, this is the time for your prayer requests, prayer praises. Definitely on the Wednesday night Bible study, we have Bible study, we have prayer requests. Prayer praises, and definitely a good time in the Lord. Could have a couple messages lined up yet tonight, so you'll definitely hear about those tonight. A message from me, as well as the Bible prophecy from Ruth tonight, and she's got a good one lined out for you, so you'll want to check that out yet to come. And we got the final of Pastor Bonnet. He is going to be doing his final on the song and poem, see how he does with that. Does he get the good buzzer or bad buzzer? And Brother Six, he's already bypassed you, sorry to say. So you owe him that cup of coffee. All right, let's get back to the program here tonight. And we hope everybody enjoys. Like I said, if you've called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of that good stuff as we roll along with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L. Letter N as Nancy, touch like you do at your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by K-J-V. KZ1611, Ruth, at gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, at gmail.com. Again, KJV1611, Ruth, at gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number 1, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday.
Take me to the King. I don't have much to breathe. Take my heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering.
Timothy River takes the mic on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. With Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't let me.
Program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday
with AJ and the Squad.
With AJ and the Squad, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. And now it is time for our 6-Eyed Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into Psalms 71 and verse 18. Psalm 71 and verse 18.
Now, also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shewed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come.
And we're going to hear that one more time. Amen.
Now, also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shewed thy strength unto this generation and thy power everyone that is to come.
And that is our 6-Eyed Bible Memory Verse of the Week, found in Psalm 71, verse 18, Psalm 71, verse 18, which tells us that we want to have God with us when we old and gray-headed. Amen. Found in our Psalms, found in our 6-Eyed Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Psalm 71 and verse 18. Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus at Calvary. Your eyes were fixed on me. You whispered on for me, so loving.
Jesus, bring me deliverance, freedom from sin. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And now it is time for Tim's Hebrew Word of the Week. Amen.
Hello there. This is Brother coming to you with the Hebrew Word of Week 4. This week, and the Hebrew Word of the Week is Tzidkenu. Our righteousness is in the Lord, our righteousness. We looked last week at Yehovah, which is Jehovah, spelled Y-E-H-O, B is Victor, A is Adam, H. And now this week we're looking at Tzidkenu, our righteousness, as in the Lord, our righteousness. Again, the verse, Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. There's the word righteous there. And a king shall reign and prosper, shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tzidkenu. And again, our righteousness, Tzidkenu. P-S-I-K-E-N-U. That's P-S-I-D-K-E-N-U. In the Lord, our righteousness. Tzidkenu's our righteousness. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, declares that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf. Then our iniquities, like the wind, is taken away. You must have Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord is your righteousness. For you and of yourself have no Tzidkenu, no righteousness of your own. So, to the group was the Hebrew word, O-O-P.
First I go and empty-handed, does my dear Redeemer meet? Not one day our service given, lay no trophy at his feet. Must I go and empty-handed, must I lead my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty-handed go? O ye saints, arouse the earnest of vanquished quiet this day. Hear the night of death forsaking, strive for souls while still you may. Must I go and empty-handed, must I need my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty-handed go? Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul is with to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? Must I empty-handed go? Must I empty-handed go?
My Jesus. Thank you. But it's my time to ready to say heck with life and ready to feel like I'm feeling like I'd be better off 6 foot under.
You don't want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Is U-Haul open? We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Trucking of Astabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2-F-O-R, the number 1-Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Astabula. Blind Trucking of Astabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are ready. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Astabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. And now tonight we're going to have a little message about being a good watchman. Amen. And we're going to be going into Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 9. Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 9. And we'll start at Ezekiel 33, verse 1. Amen.
Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying.
Now you notice here, Ezekiel, being a prophet of the Lord, had the word of the Lord come to him. It came directly to him. And what was this word? Well, we're going to find out. Ezekiel 33 and verse 2.
Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman.
Now, the first thing that God says, he says to Ezekiel, now, if I send, now God says, if he sends the sword upon the land, any land, now, if that land, if that country, if that people sets up a watchman upon their coasts,
they set up a watchman. Here's what their watchman is supposed to do. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 3.
If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people.
Now, if he sees the sword come and he warns the people. Now, this is the watchman that was set up by a certain people. If he sees the sword come and he warns the people, gives some sort of alarm and says, hey, the battle's coming. Be prepared. We've got someone attacking us. Now, that's his job. Now, we'll look at Ezekiel 33 and verse 4.
Then, whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head.
Now, he says, God says, if the person inside the land heard the sound of the warning trumpet, if he heard the sound of the warning blast that warned him that the attack was coming, he heard the warning from the watchman, and he did not take warning, he did not heed that warning, he did not pay attention to that warning, comes and takes him away, his blood, his life, is in his own hands. Basically, you've heard the saying, you made your bed, now you got to sleep in it. Amen. All right, now Ezekiel verse chapter 33 and verse 5.
He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul.
Now the person who did not take warning, his blood, his life is upon his own head. He pays the price. You made your bed, now sleep in it. But he that took the warning, he that paid attention, he delivers his own life, he delivers his own soul, he delivers his own body, because why? He took warning and he's able to go hide, he's able to face the battle, he's able to do what have you, because he took warning. Okay? Now, pay attention to what just was said, because God is going to draw a comparison between the watchman on the wall of the city and something spiritual. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 6.
But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he's taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand.
And one final thought Gad gives about a watchman on the wall. If the watchman himself doesn't do his job, people are not warned, then the watchman is the one who's responsible. The watchman is the one who makes their lives forfeit. It's the watchman who's going to suffer the consequences of those people dying. Amen. Okay, Ezekiel 33 and verse 7.
So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me.
Now we find the spiritual comparison to the watchman on the wall of a regular city. Ezekiel, as a prophet, think of him like a preacher. He is called to who? The nation of Israel. Now, churches, Christians, listen to this. Israel is a type of the body of Christ. Ezekiel is a type of your pastors, your preachers. So, when God says to Ezekiel, he's the watchman on the wall, preachers, you are the watchman on the wall spoken of here, and the flock that God has given you, the body of Christ, not the lost, not those who are outside of the body of Christ, but those who are in Christ, are the ones you are the watchman to. You need to get this point. We've been preaching this text wrong for so many years that it's not funny. It is, we are called to the body of Christ, to warn body of Christ. Amen. All right, Ezekiel 33, verse 8.
When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand.
Now remember, once again, preachers, you're in the place of Ezekiel, and he says, when you warn the wicked, this is somebody now outside of Christ, to turn from their wicked way. And if they do not turn from their wicked way, their sinful way, then their blood is on their own head. But if you do not warn them from their wicked way, do your job, then their blood is required at your hand. Okay, Ezekiel 33 and verse 9.
Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he did not turn away from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul.
And then you notice, it finally concludes with this thought. If you warn the wicked, the person outside the body of Christ, from his wicked way, if you warned him, and he does not turn from it, then you have delivered your soul. You've delivered your soul because you did what you were responsible for. You did what you were responsible for. When you saw somebody not doing right, told them what you had to tell them. Amen. All right, now it is time to see if Pastor Bonnet could tell us what the common message is between this song and this poem. Amen.
The Apostle Paul was writing to the fold. He said, be brave, be confident, be bold. For you know the crown of life awaits you when you're trials here on earth have come and gone. Now there will come many prophets who'll speak falsely. You must stand firm, toe-to-toe, and eye-to-eye. Tell them Jesus was exactly who he claimed to be, and his word must not be compromised. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't compromise for me when he died on Calvary. The word of Christ I will not compromise. The apostles' message still applies today, for there are those who'd like to live their own way. They ignore the writing found in God's holy word, and his message gets compromised away. Oh, but I'll stand for the truth and for the light, and let his holy word through me keep shining bright. He's the one who gave his life for me at Calvary. So his word, I just won't compromise. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't compromise for me when he died on Calvary. The word of Christ I will not compromise.
Because it's cold, and some because it's hot, and some because they're getting old, and some because they're not. Some stay at home to entertain, and some to cook the dinner, and some because they're good enough, and some because they're sinners. Some stay at home because their hat, the milliner's not finished, and some because their liking for the minister has diminished. Some stay at home because their clothes are looking old and shabby, and some because their special type of piety is flabby. Some stay at home because they have a farm and lots of stock, and therefore cannot spare the time to gather with God's flock. Some stay away because their beaux care nothing for the church, and some because a special friend has left them in the lurch. And some declare they don't enjoy the singing of the choir, and others because their fellow saint aroused their wrathful ire. Some stay away because they've long and single harness tarried, and some because, as they protest, they're settled down and married. Some keep from church because they find the members cold and funny, who never clasp them by the hand unless they're after money. And some bewail with pious face the worldliness and sin that find lodgment in the church, so never enter in. Alas, alas, excuses grow to drive our thoughts from God and turn us from the house of prayer, the place our Savior trod.
All right, Pastor Barnett, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
All right. Once again, that's a very good song and poem. Very interesting in trying to correlate these. The first song itself is about not compromising the gospel. Then the other one deals with people compromising their fellowship and going to church with all the others. So if I was trying to put together a central thought between the two, it would be not to allow other people you to compromise your fellowship and your trust in the gospel and the church. I have to add that into the church because that is where our fellowship grows, where fellowship is one for another. So I would say the good central thought would be, don't allow others to cause you to compromise your faith or your trust in God and the church. So don't compromise your fellowship because of the actions of others. That will be kind of my overall statement.
Well,
and what do you know? You hit the ending with a bang. You are 100% correct. Don't let others compromise your faith in the gospel. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Don't let others compromise your faith in the gospel. That is so true. In this day and time, we need to stand firm on our faith in God, our trust, and our belief in Him and His Word. And just because others are not doing well don't mean we have to misbehave. So that's what I want to say.
Amen, amen. And now that we so far see that you are so far the leader, we're going to have to see if anyone else, as we go through this series, will top you. But so far, you're the top dog. All right, now we'll move on with the program. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
In the Holy Bible, it tells of a day when the beast should walk among us, and then it shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, they should rise in against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of many, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. When that flame is talking, tribulation. When the heaven seems broken,
and the seven vows are open,
and the seven trumpets sound.
Okay, this lesson is Prophecies Concerning Christ's First Coming. In this lesson, we're looking at the prophecies concerning the first coming of Christ. Various scriptures known as first mentionings are contained in the Bible. These portions of scripture are always all-inclusive. Everything regarding the subject spoken of is contained in the first mentioning. Afterwards, only a portion is referred to or a part of the subject is mentioned as it is gradually unfolded throughout the pages of the Bible. This is finally illustrated for us in the first mentioning of Christ's first coming. Here's the scripture, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis 3:15, King James Version. This verse of scripture is the first mentioning of the first coming of Jesus Christ, starting at this point in scripture and continuing right on up to the day Jesus Christ came into this world in the form of a little babe in Bethlehem's manger. There are approximately 196 signs relative to his first coming written in the pages of God's Word. Many people wonder why the Israelites did not accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah and King when he came the first time. There's only one reason why they didn't, and that is that they were not looking for his first coming. Practically everybody on the earth could have known at the first coming of Christ if they had so desired. The first coming of Jesus Christ was common knowledge in that day. It was first declared by God to Adam and Eve before they left the garden, and Adam then verbally delivered the message of Genesis 3:15, which God had given to him, to his children, and their children during his entire lifespan of 930 years, because we find Enoch saying scripture. And Enoch also, the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." Jude verse 14, KJV. This verse tells us that Enoch, the seventh generation from Adam. Okay, he knew about Jesus Christ's first coming. God reaffirmed the first coming of Christ to Abraham, which is substantiated for us and correctly interpreted by Paul the Apostle when he says, scripture, "Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, he saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." Galatians 3:16, King James Version. We also find God going to Isaiah the prophet and revealing unto him the exact manner in which Jesus Christ would be born. Please remember, this is one of the signs of the first coming of Christ. Scripture, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us.
Isaiah 7:14, King James Version. Please allow me to call your attention to an astounding fact. That verse of scripture written by the pen of Isaiah was given 750 years before Jesus Christ was born in the city of Bethlehem. Another scripture relative to the first coming of Christ is found in the last book of the Old Testament. It was plainly declared that the Lord would suddenly come to his temple. Scripture, behold, I will send my messenger John the Baptist, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Malachi 3:1, King James Version. We are beginning to see that the early prophecies were handed down by mouth from one generation to another, God always declaring that Jesus Christ was coming the first time. After Moses arrived on the scene nearly 2,500 years before Adam, we find in the Old Testament, which was begun to be written by Moses and Job and later completed by Malachi, a total of no less than 196 prophecies concerning the first coming of Jesus Christ. Wow, that's a lot. Naturally, the people of that day who were watching were vitally interested as to where this Messiah, Savior, or Deliverer would come from. Through his prophets of old, God left nothing for the people to suppose, but warned them far in advance that the Christ child would be born of a virgin woman. We read that in Isaiah 7:14. That scripture was fulfilled in this manner. Scripture. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together as husband and wife, she was found the child of the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit. Wonderful. Praise God. Then Joseph was mindful to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, that which is conceived in her, Mary, is of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 1:18-20, and of course your KJV. Luke confirmed the same thing in his gospel in chapter 1:31, wherein he said, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Oh, wonderful. Praise the Lord again. People were told in the Psalms approximately 1,000 years in advance that Jesus would be called the Son of God. Scripture, I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Psalm 2:7, KJV. Please be reminded that the Psalms wherein this prophecy is recorded were written approximately a full 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was born, and the people of that day and age, that is the day and age when Christ was actually born, had the Psalms in their possession, and they could have read and known about the coming of the Savior. Please remember, the first mentioning of the first coming of Christ was back in the first book of the Old Testament. Scripture, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis 3:15. Beginning with that verse of Scripture and continuing right through the Old Testament, on up until Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, approximately 196 prophecies relative to his first coming. A little-known prophecy of the first coming is one which revolves around the fact that the Jews of that day knew God, called Jesus Christ before he was ever born in Bethlehem. Scripture, listen, O isles, unto me, God, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. Isaiah 49:1. That prophecy of Christ's first coming was written approximately 700 years before Christ was born in the little village of Bethlehem. Jeremiah, another prophet, took pen in hand and approximately 600 years before Christ was born, wrote that the Jews would know beforehand that an attempt would be made to kill the little baby Jesus when he was born. Scripture, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahal, or Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not, meaning that they had been killed. Jeremiah 31:15. I'm sure you would like to read about the fulfillment of this particular prophecy, because had great effect upon the people of that day, as many of their precious little babies were torn from their mother's arms and slaughtered by the thousands. Here's the fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah, the prophet, Matthew 2:16-17. One of the amazing prophecies for the first coming of Christ was that Isaiah was able to determine the sex of the child, thus indicating a miraculous birth. Scripture, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Isaiah 9:6. That's more than doctors can do today. They have equipment by which they count the unborn child's heartbeat, take blood tests of the mother, and after all the laboratory analyzation, feel confident of the sex of the child to be born. But invariably, when parents buy an outfit for a baby girl on the strength of the doctor's advice, God gives them a boy. Through the prophet Isaiah, God was able to look down through the annals of time for more than 700 years and prophesy that the virgin woman would bear a son. It actually came to pass as the scripture said it would. And Joseph knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Matthew 1:25, King James Version. The scriptures were so accurately written as the Holy Spirit moved upon men of old that the prophecies regarding the first coming of Christ indicated the diet or food Jesus Christ would eat. Scripture, butter and honey shall he eat. Isaiah 7:15. The marvelous thing about this verse of scripture is that it indicates the plainness and the simplicity of the life in which young Emmanuel would be brought up. He was raised in the home of a carpenter, a common laborer of that day. He was a poor person, materially speaking, from the fleshly, worldly, human standpoint. This is confirmed in the New Testament. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Matthew 13:35. Another verse of scripture that has always made a little bit sad when I read it is when it declares that Jesus Christ didn't have even the conveniences that most of us enjoy today. That is, a house to live in, a roof over our heads, a place called home to go to at the end of a long day of labor. Scripture, and Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Matthew 8:20. In order to emphasize the fact that he had nothing in this verse of scripture, Christ told the people that even the foxes had their homes or dens, and the birds of the air had their nests and place where they could roost at night. But he himself didn't own anything, not even a place to lay his head. He was born in an obscure village, Bethlehem, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village, Nazareth. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30 years of age. And then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never owned a home. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside of a big city until the week before he was crucified. He never traveled 200 miles from the place of his birth. He never did one of the things that usually accompanies greatness. According to our present-day standards, he had no credentials but himself. Yet back in Genesis, God told Adam and Eve that Jesus Christ would come, and from the book of Genesis right up to the time he was crucified, approximately 196 prophecies were written in the Bible telling the people that day to get ready, to look out, the Savior is coming. And when he did come, the people were not ready to receive him. Scripture says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. John 1:11, KJV. But there's amazing prophecies, which has always thrilled me, and if the scriptures tell the very place of Christ's birth, Micah was able to look down through the annals of time 700 years in advance. We had a quaint little town in the hill country of Judah, originally called Ephratah. He could see that the promised Savior would be born in that little village. Scripture, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Micah 5:2. Isn't it amazing that God allows human beings, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, to write down these future prophecies, some of them 4,000 years in the distant future? All this was common knowledge that the people could have known about it if they had wanted to. Condition which existed in the hearts of the people of that day was one of indifference. This particular prophecy concerns the ministry of Christ and explains why he was unable, even though he was the Son of God, to get people to receive his message wholeheartedly. Scripture, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, and have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Isaiah 29:13, KJV. Isaiah wrote that verse approximately 700 years in advance, and he declared that the Jewish people who heard Christ preach in person would really not accept him, but they would continue to accept the teachings and doctrines of their priests, who were interested in lengthening the hems of their garments and standing on street corners praying audible prayers to be heard of men. Naturally, the masses of the people of that day looked upon Jesus Christ with dishonor, but it was prophesied about 2,500 years in advance by Moses that when Jesus Christ actually came to this earth, he would be a great prophet, not a little-known itinerant preacher, but a great prophet. Scripture, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me, Moses, unto him ye shall hearken. Deuteronomy 18:15. I want to share with you the verse of Scripture which indicates the fulfillment of this prophecy of Moses given 2,500 years before Christ was actually recognized as a prophet. Scripture, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him, Christ, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. John 1:45, KJV. Naturally, since he was a prophet, the Son of God would be upon Christ in a miraculous manner. And though only 3 years of ministry of time elapsed, he changed the course of mankind. Isaiah was able to foresee some 700 years in advance that Jesus Christ's ministry would begin in the city of Nazareth. Scripture, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, Christ, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, yet sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance, judgment of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Isaiah 61:1-2. Every time I read something in the Old Testament which tells me what Christ would do in the New Testament, it always fills my soul to later locate the reference in the New Testament and read it for myself. Let me share with you a portion of Scripture in the New Testament which fulfills Isaiah's prophecy relative to Christ beginning his ministry in Nazareth. Now, here's the Scripture. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. Luke 4:16-20, King James Version. So you can see there's much in the Bible about the first coming of Christ. In fact, some have said there are 196 prophecies written in Scripture, one of them as much as 4,000 years in advance, telling that Jesus Christ would come the first time. There was no excuse for anyone not knowing of the first coming of Christ. The people of that day and age should have been reading the Scriptures which they had in their possession, and they should have been trimming their spiritual lamps, as it were, and eagerly anticipating the first coming of Christ. But in that day, they were doing just what people are doing today. They're all too busy about the material things of this life, and the majority of the people today wouldn't give a snap of their fingers for a sermon on the second coming of Christ because they are not one bit interested in the things of God. They care more for the things of themselves. So when
Jesus Christ came the first time. The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. John 1:11. We've seen the first mentioning of the first coming of Christ was found in the book of Genesis, foretold 4,000 years in advance, where God said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bring, or shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Genesis 3:15, KJV. This verse of scripture tells us that Jesus Christ will eventually destroy the works of Satan, and when he will, authorize the placing of the Antichrist and the false prophet in the lake of fire. And then 1,000 years later, after Satan will have been imprisoned for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit, he'll be thrown into the lake of fire where he, the beast, and the false prophet will be. This is found in Revelation 20, verse 10. In this lesson, we're giving an overall prophetic view of some of the more interesting things for the first coming of Christ. One of the Old Testament prophecies concerning Christ's first coming was that the effect of Christ's missionary or ministry upon the Israelites would be to produce a state of spiritual blindness. In other words, they will hear, but they will not comprehend. Scripture, and he said, "Go and tell the people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. You know the sad, sad story when Jesus Christ entered into his earthly ministry and began to pardon the gospel, or proclaim the gospel to the Israelites. Their hearts were hardened toward him. Then ears were stopped. Their eyes were blinded to spiritual things. And the Bible says they turned their backs on him. You can read this for some of that prophecy in Matthew 13, verses 13 and 15. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit was able to see far off into the distance of time and then have common, ordinary men record on paper what they see. So when the time of fulfillment actually rolls around, that thing happens exactly as prophesied. For instance, 700 years in advance, the prophet Isaiah saw that Jesus Christ would be rejected. So he made a prophecy which declared that Christ, after being rejected by the Israelites, would turn to the Gentile nations. Scripture, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They will dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Upon them has the light shined. Isaiah 9 and verse 1. This is filled in Matthew 4, verses 13 to 16. Some time ago, I answered a letter from a lady about a scripture in Psalms. It had to do with the betrayal of Christ by Judas. This lady was somewhat disturbed about the fact that Judas, who was assassinated with Christ for a number of years, would actually sell him for 30 pieces of silver. When I answered her letter, I told her that Judas was a child of the devil from the beginning and remained a child of the devil throughout his whole lifetime, and the scriptures prophesied beforehand that Judas would betray Christ. Now here's the scripture. Yet mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which duty with my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Psalm 41:9. As you well know, that ancient prophecy was actually fulfilled approximately 1,000 years later. Scripture, I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. He, John, then lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is in whom I shall get sap of bread when I have dipped it. And after the sap, Satan entered into him. Judas then said, Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. He, Judas, then having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. John 13:18-30. The scriptures foretold the betrayal of Christ and said that the person who sold him would be a friend and not an enemy. Scripture, for it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it that had hated me that did magnify himself against me, that I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man thine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, walked into the house of God in company. Isaiah 55:12-14 in the King James Version. So you can see the Bible is literally packed and jammed with prophecies concerning the first coming of Christ. For instance, the scripture is actually told some 600 years in advance that Judas would sell Christ for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver were worth approximately $18. Imagine when you're selling the Son of God into the hands of wicked men for $18. What would you buy today for $18? Many are telling Christ for less than $18 today. It's something to think about. Scripture, and I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver by 11, 12. 600 years later, that scripture was fulfilled as recorded in Matthew 26:15. It's overwhelming evidence in the Bible that the people living on the earth before the first coming of Christ had no legitimate reason for not looking for his first coming. The scriptures were full of information about that tremendous event. You have no doubt heard the question asked, why weren't the Jews watching and waiting for him when Christ came the first time? We're endeavoring to answer that question. We have been showing you a very few of the prophecies relative to the first coming of Jesus Christ. So accurate is the scripture that some of the prophecies is relative to Christ's suffering are mentioned in the Bible. It was declared in the Old Testament that the sheep would desert the shepherd. Scripture, smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. Zechariah 13:7. That was fulfilled in Matthew 26:15 regarding the Roman soldiers lashing the back of the Savior, the prophet of old foresaw. Scripture, the plow plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. Psalm 129:3. The verse was fulfilled in Mark 15:15. The scripture even went as far as to say Christ would be despised and rejected by his people. Scripture, he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and he hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Isaiah 53:3. Isaiah wrote that prophecy approximately 750 years in advance of its fulfillment. You may have read about its fulfillment in Mark 27:30-31. So accurate and concise is the word of God. Whether it be a prophecy, doctrine, or any phase of scriptures, it declared 1,000 years in advance what Christ would actually say as he hung on the cross just before he died. Scripture, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And turn and from the words of my roaring. Psalm 22:1. The fulfillment of that prophecy is recorded in Matthew 27:46 to further paint Calvary's scene with prophetic accuracy. The Psalms told what the people would do at the time of the crucifixion as they stood around watching the Savior being put to death on the middle cross. Scripture, all that they that see me laugh, me to scorn, they shoot up the lip, they shake his head saying, he trusts on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he's delighted in him. Psalm 27:8. Fulfillment of that prophecy is recorded in Matthew 27:39-43. Isaiah further prophesied a full 700 years in advance after what Christ was crucified, his body would be buried with the rich people of his day. And he made his grace with the wicked and with the rich on his death. Isaiah 53:9. The amazing fulfillment of this prophecy is recorded in Luke 23:50-53. Some folk have wondered why the people interested in Christ were anxious to get his body down from the cross. It's true that the Passover feast was nigh at hand, but whether you're familiar with it or not, it was accomplished. Or prophesied full 1,500 years in advance of his body would not hang on the cross overnight. Scripture, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, cross, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be definitely defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Deuteronomy 21:23, KJV. The fulfillment of this prophecy is recorded in John 19:31, despite of the many prophet signboards which God placed along the highway of his life for Israel. When Jesus Christ finally came into the world, he was rejected as their Messiah, and they said, "We have no king but Caesar." When he appeared in their midst, they laughingly and jokingly poked fun at him by saying, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" Matthew 23:55. So we come to the close of this part of our lesson. May I ask you this one question? Was the first coming of Jesus Christ important? I believe any level-headed thinking person will agree that the first coming of Jesus Christ was tremendously important. If for the first time you find a mentioning of this Bible regarding Christ's first coming, you will find 18 mentionings regarding his second coming. So I declare unto you, although the first coming of Jesus Christ was important, the second coming of the Son of God is much more important. Okay, it's true no man knows the day nor the hour of Christ's second coming, yet the Bible tells us many times over that certain conditions will be existing on the earth when Christ returns. Here's a scripture. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting despised him, Christ, that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, "When it is evening, you say, will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it'll be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times?" Matthew 6:1-3, KJV. Therefore, I declare unto you that the 196 prophecies for the first coming of Jesus Christ were all written in the pages of Holy Writ, so the people of that day would not be taken unawares, and that they might be anxiously anticipating the first coming of the Savior. History records that they were not watching, they were not waiting, and they were not interested in the first coming of Jesus Christ. Please allow me to caution you. A greater event than the first coming of Jesus Christ is almost upon modern mankind. It's the second coming of Jesus Christ. Be sure you're ready for it. Okay, and the next lesson will be why I believe Jesus Christ will come again.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-N-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. When you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money over to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes and his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6,
gmail.com. S-I-F-E-Y-E-S. Ditch number 6 at gmail.com. And your subject line, write a donation question in the body of your email. Request that information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you're wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
All right, Ruth, who do we got with us?
Okay, we have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Emily, and Jim. He wants to speak tonight.
All right. Jim?
Good show, Kenny.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Liked it. All right. Praise the Lord.
Did you have any prayer requests or what have you for us tonight?
None that I can think of.
Okay. Well, thanks, Jim. We appreciate hearing from you. All righty. And Brother Six, how you doing?
Six dropped. I think he's went on. But you could get Emily to speak.
All right. Well, Emily.
That's why.
I just want to say it was good to hear my favorite Smurf station, Dad, out on the air tonight.
All right.
And I think I better behave before I get in trouble, huh, Kenny?
Yeah. Well, somewhere we're getting a little backbeat here.
Yeah, I know. And we could probably give an opportunity for Smurf to speak anyway. I don't know. He might still be around there.
I don't know what's going on.
If whoever it is got like a TV on or whatever, they need to turn the volume down. That's all they need to do. Ah, that cleared it up right there.
I think what it was, I was leaning close to my computer.
Ah, that'll do it every time. Okay.
Oops. Sorry, bro, if you're still there.
Okay. That's all you got to remember is watch that background, because that'll do it every time. Makes it very disturbing when we're trying to hear on the air. So do we have Six, or did he totally drop, Rory?
It says he dropped, but you know, Six, he might drop back. You know, I want to say one thing about him. I'd like to tribute to what he's done in recordings, because he's like you, Kenny, but that one with the Texan Drive is so awesome. I just hope that will save some people's lives, because I've even had road ragers when I used to drive. So I'll probably be driving again in the future if I ever get another car or something, or somebody lets me borrow one, because I still want to get behind the wheel. But these road ragers are bad, and so are the text and drive folks.
All right.
I just appreciate what he did with that recording.
All right. And, Em, did you have any questions or comments tonight or prayer requests? Because you didn't get on earlier.
No comments other than it was a good broadcast. Also be keeping me in prayer because I have not been feeling so kosher all day.
Kenny, why don't we pray for her and any of the other requests?
All right. Well, with that, I was going to have you do the closing prayer for us.
Well,
oh.
If Emily wants to do it, she can do it.
I said, who would you talk to? And no, I was just asked Kenny who he was talking to about the closing prayer.
Either one of you. If you want to do it, Emily, we'd be glad if you would.
If Ruthie would tonight, because I'm not feeling so kosher.
All right, Ruth.
Lord, Lord, we love and praise your name, and be with Emily out there when she's not feeling well. I really worry. I know worry's a sin. I'm preaching it myself, but I got to quit worrying. But she really will be okay. I believe you'll take care of her at night or any other time in the world. And we've been protected by him so many times. Lord, you have been there always for me. I even went riding on a bicycle and carried a pizza and got home, and I got sick when I got home. I mean, you were there for me in everything, in every situation since I was born. And I know you'll keep doing it. And when I get in eternity, all I can do is just sit and praise your name or run around the block or whatever we're doing up there in heaven. We'll just be having a blast. Pass the catfish or pass the fried chicken at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we're all going to have the heaven closed so that we can just have a blast and be with Jesus. It's going to be a blast. So just get encouraged, people. He's coming soon, and I know, but we just don't know the day or the hour. Scriptures say that. So be with all the prayer requests, Lord. You know what they are. You got mail, precious. We love you. Amen.
All right. And just to let everybody know, tomorrow night, I have the name written down, but I didn't get it memorized here. But we will have a special guest tomorrow night that we'll be interviewing, and you'll want to check that out on the Jimbo Braille program, 9 p.m. Eastern. And also, I just wanted to tell Emily, you can't feel kosher because that's a type of food for the Jewish people, and you can't feel well because you don't have one.
And we're not allowed to have one because Asheville Homes wouldn't let us dig one out there. But if we ever own the property, which I'm planning to, and I know you are, we could dig one then.
So, and anyway, let's not talk about wells or deep subjects.
Canning.
Huh?
Very cute, Kenny.
And let's not talk about wells. They're deep subjects.
Yeah, and they're awful wet.
Honey, how does that go? What, deeper in the well? Or how does that song go with the deeper in? I don't know. I've heard it somewhere.
But,
I can't think of how it goes.
But anyway, it depends on the kind of well you got. It could be wet, it could be slippery, or it could be smelly.
Yeah, did I ever tell you guys that my grandfather on his farm, did you know they were rich people, had an oil well, my grandfather? Yeah, there was an actual oil well on my grandpa's dad's property.
See, if it's a water well, it's wet. If it's an oil well, it's slippery. And if it's a gas well, it's smelly.
Oh, you are such a funny. What do we think of Wyatt the Well when we went out there to Landmark Baptist Church? And remember that guy that was the preacher? What was his name again?
I forget, but anyway.
They gave us about 50 Bibles anyway, and we gave them out. And they even wanted money for them. Can you imagine? I mean, the Lord just wants our hearts. Money is not such a big deal as some people think. But we'll leave that subject.
All right. Well, for everybody and Brother Six Eyes, we want to say God bless, good night. And we'll catch you tomorrow. Good night, everybody.
Good night.